Tonight, I want to give some of the underground, some of the underlying substance of what the Lord has been saying or is saying to us about this year. So let me just reread or re-say the prophecy that the Lord gave in regards to 2018 about us arising this year in His anointing, come on, in His Spirit, come on, full of the Spirit of God, so that we can see and experience the restoring power, the delivering power of our God. Amen. And listen, I'm not talking about just being delivered, you know, from like bad stuff. Everybody, you know, we've come out of that, hopefully. Hopefully we don't have a lot of that. But, you know, we come up against opposition. We come up against troubles. Those are things that we have to be delivered from. Come on, how many of you can think of some situations that you need to be changed? Come on, some things that need to turn around, some things that need to happen. That's the delivering hand of God that comes into a situation and helps pull us up and pull us out into a better place. Praise the Lord. So this is what the Lord says. He says, arise, have faith in my power to save, to rescue, to deliver, to heal, and to bring restoration to my people. All things are done not by your might or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Deliverance shall come, victory shall be secured, and restoration shall be at hand. Glory to God. It's time to get back what belongs to us. I think we need to get it. We need to re-get it. Some of us need to get it. Some of us need to get some things we've never gotten. We've read about them in the Bible. We've seen other people. Some of us need to get some things. And then some of us need to re-get some things.
Amen.
Come on, some of us have had some things, and over the years or over situations or circumstances, you know, things seem to have left out of our corner. It's time to re-get something, and then it's time to keep things.
Amen.
There is a keeping power of God. Amen. And so the Lord says that I will stand behind my word to perform it, and my performance will be swift, strong, and thorough. Yes, my hand will stretch forth to you. My hand shall be upon you, and a fresh anointing will be yours. Come on. I said a fresh anointing. Come on, I said a fresh, not an old. Come on, not an old anointing. Come on, not an old supply of the Spirit. A fresh new supply of the Spirit of God is ours this year. Come on, we got to believe that. Come on, do you want that? Come on, do you want a fresh supply of the Holy Ghost? Woo, glory to God. God said it. He said that there will be a fresh anointing will be yours, found in consecration.
Amen.
Now, this is where everybody gets quiet. Come on, we got to partner with God. There's going to be some things required in this season on our part. Really, in every season of your life, there's things required on your part. God can't just do it all by Himself. He's looking for us, for our faith, for our agreement, for our consecration, for our laying down our life. How really bad do we want the anointing? Come on, how much do we want the greater anointing? How much do we want to see signs, wonders, and miracles?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I want to see them. So this fresh anointing will be found in consecration, increased in preparation, and increased in application. That means the more you use it, the stronger it gets. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like this year we're going to step out on some edge. You know, I think it was Smith Wigglesworth that used to say that many times, your faith has to get to the edge, the end of yourself, so that then you step into this something with God. I believe we're going to step out this year. I mean, we're going to get to the end of what we know. We're going to get to the end, and then God is just going to be there, and it's going to be glorious.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's increased in application, and thereby the fruit of deliverance and the blessing of restoration shall be evidenced in the days ahead. Glory to God. Come on, there's going to be blessing that's going to be evidence of our restoration. Come on, Deuteronomy 28, the blessings of the Lord running up and overtaking us in this year.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. All kind of blessings.
Yes.
All kind of blessings. Praise the Lord. So the Lord, the word came to us from the Lord that we are to arise, that we are to pursue, overtake, and recover. Now, I want you to get those four words in your heart. We are to arise.
Arise.
We are to pursue.
Pursue.
We are to overtake. And recover. And that was a word that came to David in the midst of a bad situation when some stuff had been stolen. Come on, any of you ever had something stolen? The word of the Lord came to him in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8. The Lord answered David and he said, pursue, for surely you shall overtake them and without fail recover all. Come on, it's a year to recover. Come on, it's a year to recover our hope. Come on, it's a year to recover our faith. It's a year to recover our prosperity. It's a year to recover our health. Come on, it's a year to take back what belongs to us. I have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. Jesus died for that inheritance so that you could have it. Not just in concept, not just in theory, but that you could literally partake of it. I'm talking about living in the reality of our inheritance. Praise the Lord. So like I said on Sunday, it's time to make a turn. It's time to turn, time to put your boots on, strap them up. It's time to turn. It's time to charge into the battle. We are battle ready. The Lord says we are battle ready, and it's time to charge into the battle with His anointing.
Amen.
So that restoration comes, so that deliverance comes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord has highlighted two of the Old Testament saints. He's just been highlighting this to me and showing me that there was a measure of the Spirit. You know, in the Old Testament, they didn't have the Spirit within. The Spirit would have to come upon them. But there was an anointing of the Spirit on these two Old Testament guys that they operated in. That we today, in this season, in this hour, always available. But there's something about at this moment, if we're going to run into battle, we're going to have to be familiar with the anointing that was on Samson and the anointing that was on David. Okay? We're going to have to charge into the battle with the anointing of the Lord. So this spirit that was on them and operating within them is the spirit of might. Now I want to talk about that a little bit tonight. Are you ready? Okay, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. When it was prophesied about Jesus' coming, Jesus came as the Son of God, but He came as the Son of Man. He laid down all of His deity, all of His glory, all of His everything that He had acquired and had in heaven, and He came into the earth as a man. He came into the earth as a man, and He was anointed by the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of God. Anointing means to rub on, to smear on, to put on. So He was a man. He stood as a man, empowered, anointed with the Holy Spirit, so that Jesus could get the job done. No miracles did Jesus do until He went down to the River Jordan, got baptized, came up, and it says the Holy Spirit descended upon Him. At the age of 30, up until that point, no power, no strength like that, no miracles. But when the anointing came, and it was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 11, that there would be a sevenfold Spirit anointing that would be on Jesus Christ. Now let's look at that real quick. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. A sevenfold anointing of Jesus. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of His roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Seven anointings, seven aspects, seven works of the Holy Spirit that were put on Jesus so that Jesus could get the job done.
Amen.
Everybody understands that, right? Jesus had to have the Spirit of God on Him in order to get His assignment done. Okay? And so this is the sevenfold anointing that we see. And I want to talk about this Spirit of might because, you know, Jesus had the anointing, so we're to have the anointing.
Amen.
If we're saved, if we're baptized in Jesus, if we're one with Jesus, the same Spirit of Jesus is in us and should be on us. And so coming with the Holy Spirit brings the availability of these same seven spirits that we are to operate in, that we are to work in, that we are to acknowledge. And I just know that in this season, in order for us to run in to the camp, run into the enemy's camp. Come on. And take back what's ours. We're going to have to be anointed with the Spirit of might. Okay? So we're going to talk about that a little bit so that you understand a little bit more about that. Let me give you the definition of what the Spirit of might really entails. Are you ready? This is what we're aiming for in this year. In other words, we're to arise, we're to pursue, and we're to overtake and recover with the anointing. This year, it's not going to happen without the anointing. I've watched it for years and years in the body of Christ, trying to get healing by a method. Trying to get a miracle by a system. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. It's the Spirit of God that does the work. We're going to have to operate in the anointing if we want to partake of all that is God in this season. Amen. 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 The Spirit of might is this. Courage. Now remember, we're not talking naturally. We're talking supernatural. We're talking about something of the Spirit that is put on us. Courage, fortitude, boldness, vigor. Strength, energy, and power. So I'm going to say those again. Courage, fortitude, boldness, vigor, energy, strength, and power. Listen to this. To fully execute without discouragement or fail. Did you know that because Jesus was in the earth as a man, that he was tempted in the same weaknesses? Jesus had temptation to get discouraged. But there was a measure of the Spirit on him that sustained him. There was an anointing of the Spirit on him that held him up and held him steady. And he just said, you know what? I'm going to stay with it until I fully execute. Until I fully execute. Until I fully execute. Come on, church. We're going to have to fully execute. As the army of the Lord, as soldiers of Christ, we're going to have to fully execute. We're going to have to fully execute God's plan in our life. We're going to have to know the plan. We're going to have to get the path. And we're going to have to stay the course. But listen, we don't do it in our own strength.
No way.
We don't do it in our own self. Hallelujah. We do it with God. We do it with the Holy Spirit. It's an aspect of the Spirit. That's why we talk so much here about being filled with the Spirit, about being stirred up in the Spirit, about maintaining that place. So it's not just like an event that happened to you and something's down there. No, it's like a stirring so that the Spirit of God is always upon us, active and ready for anything that is before us. Hallelujah. The Spirit of might. So if the Spirit of might was on Jesus, that anointing should be upon us. Listen, if we're going to want that the yoke of the enemy and that the yoke of the world be broken off of our lives and removed, we're going to have to operate in God's anointing. We're going to have to operate in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to operate in this gift. If you might put it this way, the Spirit of might is a gift. It's a gift of strength beyond natural strength. It's a gift of power beyond natural power. We're going to have to operate in the strength and in the power of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is how we run into battle. We don't just charge ahead like, oh, let's just... No. We do it in the Spirit of the Lord. We do it with the Spirit of God upon us. And it ties to our consecration. Ties to our consecration. What are we willing to give up? What are we willing to give up to pray? How much is prayer necessary? Very. How much is getting on your face before God necessary? Very. How much is cutting off the TV, turning off the music? How much is getting off the internet and Facebook and Messenger and Instagram and Twitter? How important is getting off of it so that you can get into the place of God? Amen. Vital.
Amen.
If you want it, you're going to have to pay the price for it. Jesus paid the ultimate price in that it came and made it available. But it is about a surrendering and a laying down of our lives.
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, we're real here.
Yes.
And one thing that really always bothers me is when people hear something and then they get upset when they don't get it. But listen, listen. There's things attached with God. God knows you. What he may require of you may not be required of me. What he may require of me may not be required by you.
That's right.
Okay? But God is working with us because he wants us to operate fully in all that is him so that we can have all of our inheritance.
Amen.
It's a year of deliverance and a year of restoration. And if you will set your heart with God, God will deliver you and God will bring you into restoration.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So this spirit of might, now in the Old Testament, the spirit, like I said, came upon people. So it was an outward work. It was an outward work of the spirit where the spirit would come upon. And then we would see an outward action and an outward result. Okay? Everybody got that? In the New Testament, it's a little different. Okay? Because we're born again. Because the Holy Spirit now lives in us. And so first, the work is always inward.
Amen.
So there's a, it's like I would call it the dwelling work of the Spirit of Might. The dwelling work whereby we're full of courage. And it produces steadfastness. It produces a steady, stable, anchored. It's an inward work. Now, the inward work will produce outwardly, but it's an inward work that's within us, different from the outward place of the Spirit coming upon us, like through the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Where at a moment something comes up. I believe that 2 of the gifts, the gifts of faith, and the working of miracles operate underneath the spirit of might. I believe they're based in the spirit of might. If you look at what they do and how they work, it's by this just, I mean, at the moment, well, listen, I've had the gift of faith operate in me a couple times. And when it comes on you, it's not just like in you being encouraged and being, yeah, I'm thinking. It's like you feel like, whoa, I am Wonder Woman. And I mean, it's just like there's nothing at that moment that's impossible. And it just comes on you for a specific moment, for a specific something, so that you can accomplish something.
Amen.
And then it lifts.
Wow. Yes.
I believe this year there are going to be opportunities for manifestations of the gift of faith particularly. I keep hearing it when I'm praying. I keep hearing it in the presence of God, the gift of faith. But listen, you're going to have to step out. But I believe that we are on the cusp for those who are willing, for those who will sacrifice to step in, that we can see some of the greatest miracles this year that we've ever seen. And it's going to come through the working of this spirit of might. Let me give you some scriptures. That would be good, right? We're a word church here. We are a word church, aren't we? We love the word. We honor the word. We believe the word. And we do the word. We do the word.
Amen.
All right. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Turn with me. Everybody find Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Just want to show you a couple of scriptures talking about how God's intent is that the spirit of might be operating through us, the anointing of might. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong what? Be strong what? Be strong what?
In the Lord.
And in the power of his what?
Might.
Be Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We are to be strong and powerful through His might, through His Spirit, through His anointing. Brethren, not special people, not just pastors, not just prophets. Come on. Every brethren, every believer, we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 through 22. This is talking about Paul praying a prayer by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, believers, you are to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Now listen, that's the working of a miracle right there. To raise someone from the dead always requires the working of it's a working of a miracle. That gift is almost always there when somebody is raised from the dead. And what the Bible is telling us is that the spirit of might is equivalent to this power that raised Christ up from the dead and seated Him in the heavenly places.
Amen.
Okay, don't turn there. Let me read you these other few just for the sake of time tonight. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 16. Again, Paul praying, said that he bowed his knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through your spirit in the inner man. There's just a highlight this year. I have read these scriptures. I have prayed these scriptures. I have confessed these scriptures. I have meditated these scriptures. I know these scriptures. But this year, there's a highlight of might. There's a highlight of might. We must go after the might. We must go after the anointing of God's might in our life so that we can run after, so that we can pursue into the enemy's camp and get what belongs to us.
Yes.
It's going to be a great year. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. For this reason also we pray, since the day we heard it, we don't cease to pray and ask that you be filled. And it goes on to say all these wonderful things that we get to be filled with. And then in verse 11, that we're strengthened with all might. There is no reason. Everybody lift up your feet. I'm fixing to step on them. There is no reason ever to be frail or weak.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
Never. There's never a reason or a time or a season that we are to be weak.
Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Then we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, about the Holy Spirit giving the gifts, the gift of faith and the working of miracles, which are based in the anointing of might. Hallelujah. So let's look at Samson. Are y'all ready? Want to take a couple minutes tonight and look at these two guys. I don't know how far we'll get. I think I'm going to have a lot to preach this year. I'll probably preach a lot from this because it's like the revelation just keeps coming. It's like every time I read through my notes, I'm grabbing my pen and it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. Praise the Lord. So the thing about Samson, you can read about Samson. We're not going to read the whole entire account of him tonight, but he is in Judges chapters 13 through 16. And the thing about Samson was that he was just one. When you go through and start reading his story, really his whole story is about how he pursued the enemy to overtake them. Okay, he lived in, he was an Israelite. He lived at the time when the Philistines were ruling over the Israelites, and that was their enemy. And Samson just had upon him, he had an anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing that was on him was undeniable. Okay, now I will say this, and I'll probably teach on this sometime this year. There were a lot of things about Samson that weren't right. Okay, if you read Samson's story and you get to the end, it kind of seems like it's a sad story. Because the truth is, he had a great anointing, but he also had wrong motives. He never matured in the Lord. You'll see from him that instead of having a heart that was totally dedicated to God, even though he was called with a vow to God, that there were times that always seemed like he was flirting on the edge of sin. Just how much could he get away with and barely stay with God? And eventually it cost him. Cost him his life. Okay? But the anointing that was on Samson is undeniable. The feats that he worked through the Spirit of God, it's just revelatory. Now, what happened with Samson is that when he was born, turn with me to Judges chapter 13. Let me show you this. Judges chapter 13. While you're turning there, I'm going to read verses 2 through 5. Now, there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and do not eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and now no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb." Okay, now this is important. Verse 7 goes on to say that the child shall be a Nazarite from the womb until the day of death. Now, this is important because usually the Nazarite is a vow that is taken to God as a consecration, and usually it's for a period of time. It was the highest vow that was taken right under the priestly, the priesthood. You know, you couldn't set yourself in as a priest. God had to do that through your lineage. But this was the highest vow that you could take to God. And usually it was just for a period of time. Men would take the vow for a certain time and then it would pass. But Samson, the Lord declared that he was going to be a Nazarite from the time he was born till the time he would go to his grave. Okay? Then it goes on to say, in, Judges chapter 13, verse 24 and 25. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew and the Lord blessed him. See, the Lord blessed him because he already had established a vow, a place of consecration, a life that was set apart. Now, what's interesting about Samson having that lifelong commitment is that is representative of us. When we get in the family, it is a lifelong now till the day we go up right in glory. It is a lifelong commitment, a consecration, a vow that we have to God as a son of God. Okay? But it's, we see here that the Lord blessed him, and it said the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him. So from a very early age, the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon Samson because he was a Nazarite, because he had a vow unto God, because his life was consecrated. There were things he could do, things he couldn't do. And in that vow, in that consecration, is where the strength of his anointing came. The strength of Samson was not in his hair, folks. It was not in his hair. It was in the vow that said that your hair won't be cut. Okay? See, the vow is what represented his relationship with God and how God worked with him in the earth through the Holy Spirit. The strength of that, the source of his strength, the source of his power, the source of his anointing of might was that he had a vow to God. Is that he had a relationship with God. Amen? Amen? That's important. You're going to see that the more you consecrate yourself to God, the tighter your relationship. Yes, you're a son of God. Yes, he's always going to love you. Yes, you're always going to be in the family. But if you want to experience the closeness, the oneness, the power, and the greatness of God, man, the more consecrated your life is to him, the stronger the anointing. So I want to tell you the 12 exploits of Samson. Tonight we don't have time to look through all of them. I encourage you later to read through some of them and see how this works. But there were 12 exploits that Samson did. And I want you to note as I go through here that these are progressive. And the reason I say that is because the Lord says that this anointing, this fresh anointing that will be found in consecration will be increased with application. Didn't the Lord say that? Well, as I was reading through the the feats of Samson, I began to see that the more he used his anointing, the stronger it got, the more opportunities came. Okay, so here we go. Number one is he killed a lion. He tore it apart with his bare hands. It says in the account, actually, that it was like a small goat that he's ripped apart. Judges chapter 14, verse 6. Number two, he slew 30 men. Judges chapter 14, verse 9. Number three, he caught 300 foxes. For all you hunters out there. He caught 300 foxes. And it just was so quick and so easy that it doesn't even go into detail. He just did it like this. It's just the anointing came on him. He had to be quick. That's in Judges chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. Number four, he attacked the Philistines hip and thigh with a great slaughter, it says, in Judges 15, verse 8. Number five, he broke two ropes that bound him, Judges 15, 14. Number six, he slew 1,000 armed men with the jawbone of a donkey. Judges chapter 15, 15 through 17. The first, remember, he killed 30 men. Now we see here, he killed 1,000 men. Number seven, he brought water out of a jawbone. Just an old, dead jawbone produced water. It's a miracle. Judges chapter 15, verses 16 through 20. Number eight, he tore away from the city wall doors of the gate of the city with two posts and a bar, and he carried it to the top of a hill. Judges chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. Number 9, he broke seven cords of braided wood that bound him. Judges chapter 16, 6 through 9. Number 10, he broke new ropes that bound him. Judges chapter 16, 10 through 12. Number 11, he broke a pin that bound his seven locks of hair to the wall, and he carried the pin and the web with him. Judges chapter 16, verse 13 through 15. Number 12, he slew 3,000 men and women by pulling down great pillars that held up the house. Judges chapter 16, verse 23 through 31. There was an anointing on Samson. There was the spirit of might. And the thing that I love about Samson was that he didn't just sit back and you know, try to think, well, let me see. You know, is what they're doing right here? Do I like this? He had an attitude. Really, I think if you look at it from the very beginning of Samson, he knew that because the Philistines were ruling over them, that they were the enemies, and he just had an attitude. He just had an attitude from day one. It was an attitude, I'm going to get them. It's an attitude, I'm going to get the best of them. And he just had one of those, not, I won't back down. He had an attitude, I won't let go. I mean, if something was done wrong, something he didn't like, something that he even thought looked like it might not be right, he just decided, I'm going to pick a fight. And really, that's the attitude that we have to have with the enemy that we have today. We're going to have to get an attitude of a not back down and not just let go. Listen, every time you lose a something, the enemy thinks he got a one-up on you. Every time you lose a something, remember, it's progressive. Listen, if you can't get victory, let me just say it, if you can't find a way to get victory over a headache, you're going to have trouble getting victory over the next thing that comes, the bigger thing that comes. And that's what I find with many people. We kind of just lay low and we kind of just be like, well, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And then something comes up that's really like this, that's really has the ability to really take hold of our life, and then we're not equipped because we haven't learned how to operate in the anointing. So what Samson had was he just decided that he was just going to wreak havoc with his enemy. And that's where I think this year, that's what I feel in me this year. It's just like I'm just sick and tired and sick and tired of the devil having any say, any place, anything in my life at all.
Amen.
That's
right.
And so it's not a day where we can just sit back. Listen, the thing I've learned about the enemy is he doesn't give up. He is persistent. And he's sly. He's pretty slick. And he'll find the one weakness in your life, and he will put his finger on it. He will put his foot on it. He will put himself on it. And he ain't leaving until you force him out.
Amen.
We lay down and just hope it will go away. I hope it will go away. Next week, I hope, and I'm not even talking about just sickness. I'm talking about having something that you've just struggled with your entire life. And you just keep, I've met people in my office. I just wish it would go away. And I say, it ain't gonna. It ain't gonna. It ain't gonna unless you force him out.
Amen.
We're going to have to force him out. This is the year to force him out. Come on, this is the year to rise up in the power and the strength of the Lord and say, you know what? I've got courage. I've got boldness. I've got vigor. You know what? And I'm not going to get discouraged. I'm going after it until I get the victory.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yeah. We got to get the victory.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we see this about Samson, that he operated in really... If you go and read, I love reading about him because he didn't have any thoughts. He didn't have any concerns. He never pondered whether he should or whether he shouldn't. I mean, he just had an absolute faith and an absolute trust in the power of the Spirit that was on him. He never one time thought that anything was going to be able to get in his way with getting the job done. I mean, it didn't matter if it was ropes. It didn't matter if it was wood. It didn't matter what it was. It didn't matter if it was men. It didn't matter if it was animals. He had an absolute trust in the anointing that was on his life. We need that. We need that. We need to know what it really is to have the anointing of God on us. We need to know that it is present. We need to know that we can trust it. We need to know that it's available. We need to know that we can operate in it. Because if we don't, we won't find ourselves stepping out on the edge of that. Instead, we'll find ourselves retreating or turning and not looking.
Amen.
He had an absolute trust in the anointing. Listen, we're going to have an absolute trust in the anointing of the Holy Spirit this year to get accomplished what we're going to do. Amen. I want you to look just real quickly. I want to talk about one little aspect of this story. Again, I encourage you to go read. There's a lot to read about Samson, and it will really help you. But I want to talk about this one thing in Judges chapter 15, verses 18 through 20. This is after Samson had gone against the army. He did all kind of things. You'd have to read through that. But you know, he had exerted himself. He had given everything in the fight that he had just been in. And it says in verse 18, then he became very thirsty. So he cried out to the Lord, and he said that you had given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant. Now should I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? And so the Lord split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he revived. Now, I know this is a natural thing talking about natural water, but when I read it, it's like the Lord said spiritually that's how we are. If we're going to operate, we're going to have to realize that we're going to have to be full of the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to cry out to God that we be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can remain in our strength.
Amen.
Okay? We can't get dry spiritually. We can't get empty spiritually. It was only as he drank the water that it says that his spirit returned and he was revived. If we're going to operate in the anointing, we're going to have to be drinkers.
Amen.
Of the Spirit. We're going to have to know what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be being filled, daily so that we're constantly filled up and full in His Spirit, in His strength. And that's where, listen, when we have His strength, we don't have a tendency to fall into our own strength. It's when we're not full of God that we have a tendency to lean on our own strength. Our own strength this year is not going to get it. It's not going to get it. We're going to have to be full of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. You know the story that Delilah attempted to, many times she was attempting to help capture Samson, really because she was after money. They had offered her money. You know, Samson should have had a discerning heart. He should have realized after the first two or three times that there was something going on here. But he didn't. And he really didn't, because he was relying on the strength more than the strength of heart. He had not grown himself up in the Lord. He had never matured in the Lord. Okay? And it cost him. It cost him. You know, they eventually tricked him. They cut his hair. They captured him. They gouged his eyes out. They put him in the lowest of the lowest of the places. He was a slave. And it was a bitter thing for him. It was a bitter thing for this man who had had the anointing of God. But I want to tell you what happened to him. I love this in Judges chapter 16, verse 22. It says, however, his hair began to grow again. You know, once Samson recognized that he had missed it, he had missed it. And he had allowed the anointing to slip away from him. Now, I know that God doesn't depart for us. But listen, sometimes we recognize we've missed it. And I want you to know that the instant that we recognize that we've missed it, it's available right there again. His hair began to regrow. His anointing began to come back. And that's how he basically completed the last miracle that he did that cost him his life. But in the end, he was willing to die that Israel would have a victory. He was willing to die. He was willing to lay down his physical life so that the victory of God could be at hand. And that's what it's going to take for us. Not our physical life, but our spiritual life. We're going to have to lay down our lives. If we're going to want to have the victories, we're going to have to lay down our lives. We're going to have to be willing to lay down our lives. Amen? Our strength is going to come through consecration. Our strength is going to come from us pursuing God. You know, one aspect of this word, and I'm not going to really talk about this much tonight, but this word, when the Lord kept saying to me, pursue, overtake, and recover, and one minute I'd be on about going after things, about going after what's been stolen, about going after and getting back things. But then on the other hand, I would hear this thing about pursuing God. Pursuing God so that we're overtaken and we recover. So there's two sides. There's two sides of this. We are going to have to pursue God fully so that we can be overtaken in Him, in His strength, in His power, in His might, in His glory, so that we can recover. Do you know that many times the obstacle for us recovering is ourself? Sometimes it's not even the enemy. It's ourself. It's something that we've got in us. It's unforgiveness. It's offense. It's a wrong perspective. It's wrong doctrine. It's a family tradition. It's a something that I'm not willing to let go of that keeps us from recovering all. Why? Because we can't be overtaken by the Lord. Because we're holding on to ourselves. We're holding on to my dignity. I'm holding on to my whatever. I'm holding on to what my mama told me. I'm holding on to the experience that I had over here. That doesn't match up with the Bible. But surely my experience has got to be greater. Therefore, God can't overtake us and we can't recover. So let's look at, are y'all ready to move on? That got deep right there, didn't it? Let's take a quick look at David here. I want to point out some things of David. David also was a man that was anointed for war. He was a battler. He was a soldier. He had great strength. He had great all kinds of great victories. You know, he too killed a lion. He killed a bear with his bare hands. But there's something about David that Samson didn't have, and it was that the Bible says that David pursued God with his whole heart. The Bible says that Samson was called to begin the deliverance, but he couldn't finish it. He was called to begin, but it says that David finished. And the reason that David finished was because he was a man after God's own heart. Because he learned about not doing something out of vengeance and not doing something just to do it because he could, but to do it out of the will of the Lord. to do it after seeking God and knowing that this is what God has desired. This is what God wants. David was a man after God's own heart. He was consecrated to the Lord. And it was evidenced as he was a worshiper. He was a worshiper of God. He lived his life as a worship unto God. I love that it says in one, y'all know the story where David was dancing before the Lord. And it actually says that he danced with all of his might. The Lord brought that to my memory today and said that even in his praise to God, his extravagant praise was based in a place with God where the Spirit of the Lord would actually get involved with him and help him praise God to a greater degree. Amen. He praised God in the spirit of might. He praised God in the anointing. I love that. I love that. Let's look at some things about David. This is particularly the story where the word of the Lord comes to us this year about pursuing, overtaking, and recovering. So turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Lord, please help me talk quickly. Okay, I'm going to read the whole account, verses 1 through 31, and then I'm going to go out and highlight some things to you. Now, what happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with them lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, the two wives, Abigail, we're going to skip that, had been taken. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthens himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to the priest, he said, bring the ephod to me. And he brought it to David. That's how in the Old Testament they had to seek the Lord. They didn't have the spirit like we have the spirit within. So that was one of their techniques. So David inquired the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him and said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook where they stayed, and those were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, those who were so weary that they could not cross the brook. Then they found an Egyptian in the field, and they brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and three nights. Then David said to him, to whom do you belong and where are you from? And he said, I'm a young man from Egypt, servant of my master, left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area in the territory and in the southern area, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? So he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. And when he had brought him there they were, spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of the great spoil that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except the 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that they had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks and the herds that they had driven before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow, whom he had also made stay at the brook. And so they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and the worthless men of those who went with David answered and said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. But David said, my brethren, You shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, but has preserved us and delivered into our hands the troop that came against us. For who will heed you in this matter? But as his part who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies, and they shall share alike. So it was from that day forward, he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. Now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, "Here is a present to you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord, to those who were in Bethel and to those who were in Ramoth of the south," and etc. Verse 30. To all the places where David found himself and his men accustomed, they wrote. So they got all the land, they got all the area, they got everything back. Okay? Now let me tell you some things about this story that pertain to you in this year in the word of the Lord. Are you ready? Verses 1 through 2. The enemy was raided, stuff happens. Stuff happens. Just because David was a man of God, just because he had the anointing, just because he was a soldier, just because he was in the will of God, didn't mean that there wasn't a raid in the camp. Stuff happens. The question is, what are you going to do when stuff happens? What are you going to do? Are you going to arise? Are you going to pursue? Verse 6, after they found this cell, I'm not going to talk about the pity party that they had. Because, you know, these were people that didn't have the spirit within them. They had a pity party. They cried, they wept, they threw their voices up. But then David got a hold of himself. And in verse 6, it says he strengthened himself in the Lord. Notice that he did this first. He did this first. He strengthened himself in the Lord. He began to praise the Lord. He began to remind himself of who God was. He didn't ask the Lord for anything. He didn't ask the Lord what to do. Are you catching this? The first thing that he did was he took care of his heart. He took care of his place with God. He restored his place with God of knowing who God was, who God is, who God is to him, what God will do for him. He made himself strong in the Lord. Listen, when stuff happens, the first thing you're going to have to do is reposition your heart in the strength of the Lord. You can't even hear until your heart is positioned in the strength of the Lord. Verse 7 and 8, after he was strengthened, he sought the Lord. Now listen, the enemy had come into the camp. The enemy had raided the camp. I mean, from all just looking, we know that that wasn't right, but he sought the Lord. He didn't want to do something out of vengeance. He didn't want to do something out of just a natural thought. He sought the Lord. He inquired of the Lord, "Lord, what am I to do? Lord, your will be done, not my will. Lord, they've got my wife, they've got my kids, but your will be done." That's consecration. That's a life submitted unto God. That's a life that is submitted where he's looking for the Lord. He's looking to seek the Lord. He's inquiring of the Lord. He wants to know what the Lord's will is. He wants to know what the Lord's plan is. He wants to know what the Lord's instruction is, because he knows that in and of himself, even David with hundreds of men can't overtake if he doesn't have the Spirit of the Lord with him. You can't overtake if you don't have the Spirit of the Lord with you. Don't pursue until you have the Spirit of the Lord with you. And the only way you're going to get the Spirit of the Lord with you is that you're going to have a word from God. In verse 8, the word of the Lord came. In that moment when the word came, faith came. In that moment when the word of God came, the anointing came. The Spirit came along. The Spirit and the word working together. The Spirit of the Lord and the word come together and work together so that we can accomplish what God wants. Amen. Verse 9 and 10, note that 600 started, 200 got weary. 200 of them bailed out. 200 of them said, "I can't do it." But David didn't let that deter him. Listen, there are going to be people around you that can't go where you go. There are going to be people around you that don't believe what you believe. They don't believe it's possible. They're not going to believe you can. You're going to have to look forward. You're going to have to say, you know what? You're going to have to rise up in courage. You're going to have to rise up in boldness. You're going to have to rise up in that vigor and that strength and that power of the Lord. And you're going to have to continue on, whether they come with you or not. Verse 12, I want to point out something here. Here's where we see that they had gone for a period of 3 days and three nights without food or water. Now listen, this was maybe not purposeful, I don't know. But when I read the account, the Lord said to me, in this season, for you to operate in the spirit of might, the anointing of might, for you to be after able to pursue and overtake, you're going to have to add some disciplined fasting in your life. Because it's about consecration. You're going to have to put some consecration through fasting in your life this year. Not so that God will do something for you. We already talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's so that your own flesh can get down, so that your own soul can bow down and your spirit man can rise up. I also want you to notice here that when David got, after he had fasted, when he got the water and he got the bread, it said that he was strengthened again. The water, the bread, representing the Word and the Spirit. If you're going to do what God wants you to do, you're going to have the Word and the Spirit this year. You're going to have them both. You can't live without them. You can't go for a whole week barely hearing, you know, just hearing one little message. You're going to have to feed on the Word of God. Amen. You're going to have to starve your body sometimes and feed on the Word of God. Amen. You're going to have to drink of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're going to operate in what God has for you. Verses 9 through 17. Notice here, this is where David went to battle. He had to do something. First of all, it didn't just come automatically. He had to follow steps. He had to find the guy. He had to work with the guy. He had to go. You're going to have to follow step by step. God is going to give you through the Holy Spirit the plan, the instruction, and you're going to have to stay with it and work it out. But you're going to have to do it in the resolve that I'm not giving up until I get there. Listen, David didn't go to battle instantly and the angels of the Lord come out of heaven and slay all the people and in 5 minutes it was done. It took him a day or so. It may take you a day or so or a week or so or a month or so. But how important is it? Amen. You're going to have to stick with it. Amen. You're going to have to stick with it to fully execute. Fully execute. Verse 17, I do like that it says that it was fully finished. David got the total victory. He didn't leave it halfway. He didn't get just a little part and then decide, woo, you know, this is kind of rough. I'll be happy with this part. He did it all the way until he finished what he set out to do. Verses 18 and 19, and he recovered all. This is what's involved in recovering all. So see, y'all liked it Sunday when we were just hooping and hollering about how we were anointed for war and God was anointing our hands for battle and how they're the Spirit of the Lord. But this is our part. Amen. And I have to say it because otherwise we get to the end of it and people are like, well, what happened? Amen. I'm like, well, did you do your part?
That's good. That's
right. Did you do your part? It's about partnering with God. If we will do our part, God will show up. Amen. That's what God has said. He said it's a day of deliverance. If we will consecrate, if we will work with God, if we will stay in, God's delivering hand will show up. God's restoring hand will show up. I love in verse 21. Verse 20, he brought a great spoil. In other words, he didn't get just what was stolen from him, but he got more. That's always the reward with God. You're going to go after things. You're going to get some things, but you're going to end up getting more. You're going to get more blessed. You're going to come out, end up being in a broader place and a wider place than before. Amen. And then verse 21 through 24, I love that David was kingdom-minded. You know, everybody's part is not always the same. You know, when you look at a church, everybody has a part, a supply, something, but we all get to partake of the fruit. Come on, we all get to, and listen, we're in a battle together. Come on, your battles are my battles. Come on, my battles are your battles. Amen. Amen? Amen? And you know, you just might be the one that can come along someone, like some of the soldiers that came along with David. You might be the one that can come along and help them get to the end of what's necessary to get victory. But I love that he didn't want to cast people aside. Listen, we're all at different places at different times. On any given day, listen, let's just say 2018, you're allowed to have one bad day, just one. Just one. On your one bad day, you find somebody that's not having a bad day to help you along.
That works.
Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to have to stop. Praise the Lord. It's time to pursue.
Yes.
It's time to overtake.
Yes.
And recover all.
Yes.
It's time to put our boots on, strap them up, put our armor on, put our gear on. Listen, you got to make sure you have on the right gear. You can't wear someone else's battle array. You got to know your armor. That's why you got to get with God. You got to seek God. You got to know what God wants you to do. Not what I did last year. Not what Pastor did. Not what Patrick did. Not what Elaine did. No, you got to know what God wants you to do. The Holy Spirit's going to give you the direction. He'll give you the path. And He'll put on you the appropriate working of the Spirit in that point to make it happen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we ready?
Yes.
Are we in?
Yes.
Are we in?
Yes.
Are we as in today as we were Sunday?
Yes.
You're going to have to stir yourself up every morning. You need to get a picture. Get a picture of Samson. Get a picture of David. Get a picture of Wonder Woman. Get a picture of Superman. Get a picture of something that inspires you in the Holy Ghost and look at it every day.
Get a picture of you.
Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because otherwise, you know, you'll wake up in just your old self. When you wake up out of bed, you're going to have to roll up. You're going to have to put your feet on the ground. And the minute your feet are on the ground, it's like, I am arising.
Yes.
I am arising. You need to rise up and begin to let the Holy Ghost work with you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm ready for any devil that wants to come my way. Seriously. So I'm feeling like, you know, sometimes you get that look in your eye. It's important that we understand this. It's important that we're headed in a direction with God.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.